Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, Blizzard continue to be Blizzarding and making a stupid amount of money in regards to microtransactions, which brings about the conversation as to who the living hell is playing Diablo Immortal and just what the hell's going on with the casual versus hardcore gaming debate in terms of the business interests behind both sides of the particular coin. Now, Ars Technica report that Diablo Immortal has made around $49 million since its launch in microtransactions so far. That's across 10 million downloads on 30 days of availability, which makes it about $1.6 million a day.
It's not just bad, huh?
Not bad for those guys, I guess, in sheer microtransaction stuff. Now, all of this is only the mobile version so far as well. It doesn't factor in the PC version, which was the one that got 0.4 on Metacritic as PC players and more regular Diablo players realized what Diablo Immortal was really like. So PC stuff isn't factored into that. The game has also just launched in Asia as of yesterday, as of the 7th of July, and apparently it's going to do huge numbers there as well, because some territories like China are way more into mobile gaming overall anyway, so it's only going to get bigger. Season 2 of content's kicked off as well.
Yes.
So it's just, there's no stopping this train. I want to see what your thoughts are on this, and then we'll break down Activision MTX stuff.
Can I request something?
Yes.
Can we title this video, Blizzard is making it snow? Because they're making it so, they're making so much money per day, and it's outrageous. Oh. And yeah, there is so much to jump into. Yes. Specifically, this is a model that, despite the backlash that you mentioned there in terms of the PC release, which got an insanely downvoted Metacritic score, it's still doing well. It's still making lots of money every single day. It is on track, I guess, if the momentum keeps up, to make an insane profit when all is said and done. Mm. And that just raises the questions of who is buying into this title, what kind of market is it aiming for, and ultimately, is Blizzard going to care about the negative reviews if people are still acting with their wants?
Well, so that's the thing. We'll talk about the Blizzard side of it for a second, because one thing doing the rounds at the minute is that Blizzard's own president / boss or whatever, Mike Ybarra, has got out there defending the game overall and defending the backlash, let's say, to especially the PC version. Now, I wanted to throw in here that Activision did make $5.1 billion. $1 billion?
Billion?
Across 2021 on microtransactions alone. It accounts for 61% of their overall revenue as a company. Now, back to Ybarra, who was recently talking to the LA Times in reference to Diablo Immortal. This stuff has been written up by GameSpot and various other outlets too. But Ybarra said that going into Diablo Immortal, the premise was, how do we make a free Diablo experience for hundreds of millions of people where they can literally do, and this is a very key quote, where they can literally do 99.5% of everything in the game. he says, the monetization comes in at the end game. The philosophy was always to lead with great gameplay and make sure that hundreds of millions of people can go through the whole campaign without any costs. From that standpoint, I feel really good about it as an introduction to Diablo. Now, this is one of the specific quotes that's obviously riling a lot of people up, because to so many people, this just ain't Diablo. It looks like Diablo. Right. It, to some degree, plays like Diablo. But I think in regards to, especially what he's admitting here, they are monetizing the end game. They're monetizing the most hardcore players, which are the same sets of players that allowed Diablo to get this big in the first place, which is where a lot of the specific ire comes in.
Yes, this is where we kind of have to get really granular about what developers and executives say, because, you know, on the surface, someone saying, look, we've given you this experience that you can play for free and enjoy, and we're only starting to charge in the end game. This is a free-to-play title. We need to make money somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's, like, on paper, a reasonable argument. It's just when you get into how aggressively those microtransactions are being pushed. Mm-hmm. How does it affect the systems once you get to that part of the game? Like, does it become a pay-to-win experience? Mm-hmm. And all of those factors are kind of being ignored and kind of instead replaced with this messaging of, look, like, we've
look how much you're
this. Look how much you're getting. You know, you've enjoyed this, and it's just the end game. And I think that just the end game is a little bit facetious as well, considering how important the end game has always been to any Diablo game. Like, that has been its tale. That has been its longevity.
Because that's the whole thing with this, is that said end game, you know, the part of the game that a lot of seasoned Diablo players are going to be wanting to dive in for, you can get to in about a week.
Yeah.
So as much as he's saying, look how much we're giving you, look how much you're enjoying this premium experience, a lot of people who have grown up with Diablo are going to hit the monetization side of it a lot quicker than the quote-unquote casuals that might be able to play it for weeks and months on end, but without grinding out all those levels before they hit that stuff. We did another video on this, which came out just being called Blizzard. I think it was like Diablo Immortal's the worst game in the world, going off the fact that it's got the 0.4 on the Metacritic, where I dove into all the loot box stuff and broke those things down. Now, we can get back to them if they come up, but the reality of the monetization side of it is that it does ostensibly have playable loot boxes.
Yes.
You can pay for certain keys to give you a better chance at getting better items when you access certain arenas or certain portals to go out to do combat and stuff inside them. You're incentivized basically to try and pay for a better chance at getting better gear inside that stuff. And it seems to be that that's where the vast majority of the monetization side of it is coming from. However, you were talking about the general split of game developers going into this stuff, or publishers, or wherever these whims come from, designing something that is a premium experience and designing that for the casuals. And obviously there's always a hardcore backlash. I did bring in some, I keep just saying casuals.
You
know what I mean? Like, it's that
people
sort of wider nebulous audience that you sort of don't really factor in when we're thinking about a gaming audience.
Who aren't on the Reddits.
Yes, people who aren't watching this right now, but they might find us on a sidebar. Now, if you bring in these sort of more casual reviews, and Ibarra does cite the Apple Store review in his defense of the game. He's like, well, look, it's reviewing really, really well. And on the Apple Store, it does have a 4.5 out of 5 rating, which is incredibly high. On the Android Store, it's got 3.6 out of 5. And like I said, over on Battle.net and over on Metacritic and stuff, it is far more lambasted, as you've kind of got that massive divide between the PC players and the mobile gamers. I think that's kind of the crux of this, and the reason they'll always go forward with it. And same with something like GTA Online, is just that casual mass audience will always prop something up far more than the discerning connoisseur,
well,
like yourself.
100%, man, especially when it comes to that divide that you mentioned there between, you know, PC players or console players and mobile players, where on the mobile marketplace, these kinds of practices are more normalized. They're more expected out of the games that that audience downloads, and therefore that is translated to a score that is, you know, more reflective of how that experience plays on that specific platform, unlike the PC version, where it's always been an issue in the console space when mobile practices are brought over, even to free-to-play games. You know, that's seen as something really sacrilegious and something that just isn't on, rightly so, because it is incredibly toxic when it goes wrong. So I can see why that divide is there 100%.
Yeah.
However, you mentioned before that, you know, Activision Blizzard has made $5 billion in, like, microtransactions alone.
Billion dollars.
That is something that has only grown over the years. Yeah. I remember writing an article that Jules so excellently presented a few years ago on Activision kind of shifting from making a load of games a year to just a couple of games a year, because those few titles were making such massive revenue with the microtransactions that they didn't even need to spend $50 million to produce a single game anymore. And that was a few years ago. That's only climbing as we continue through the 2020s. You know, like, box sales used to be here, microtransactions used to be there. In every year, man, that is like reverse.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The thing that's just kind of crazy is, like, I don't know anyone who primarily games on mobile. Like, I know a lot of people, but I don't know anyone whose primary access point for video games is mobile, because my assumption with this is that they see Diablo Immortal and they go, okay, it's a full video game. It looks like a premium experience. The graphics are very, very solid. The combat's good enough. Actually, I've downloaded Diablo Immortal since covering this to just see what the hell the big deal was. And it plays well enough. And I think that that whole idea of designing something that looks premium or looks like an actual product and doesn't fit into what would usually be, oh, it's a mobile game, the assumptions that come with that, lets them get away with more stuff.
Yes.
Because it's like, well, how could this be ripping me off? How could this be exploiting me? It's clearly a full video game.
And it's not Blizzard that's just, you know, doing this either. You look at how Nintendo approached the mobile space initially, and it was kind of the exact same. It was like, oh, here's Mario Kart, it looks good, it's on mobile.
Yeah.
Haven't we given you enough? haven't we done enough?
Do you want another Switch as well? Because we've got one of them somewhere, probably.
Give us some money, because this is more than you deserve. I'm not saying that's what someone actually said, but that's the vibe that I get when I see these releases.
Some executive will have talked like that in a Warner Brothers, Ubisoft, insert third party here meeting at some point. Look how much we're giving them.
Yeah,
and yet they still ask, you know, to be all given it at one price. But yeah, that whole divide overall, I think, is just kind of fascinating, because it is dictating the way that the industry is going. And like you said, you know, you saw that whole conversation that we've had for the last sort of 10 years or so of various mobile gaming practices being implemented in otherwise AAA productions or higher budget productions, that clash has hardly ever been done right. And you can see so many casualties, Anthem, Avengers, whatever, where I see it being done wrong. This, quote unquote, is being done right in the most cold business sense possible.
Yeah.
By the amount of money that it's making, the fact that the reviews are they're high enough, especially on one platform, i.e. the Apple stuff. But at the same time, it's just, okay, is this just the future of gaming? Just do one meticulous set of mechanics and then monetize the living hell out of it.
That's it, man. I'm not saying it's right, but I can totally see why Blizzard isn't budging on this, because, yeah, they look at the money coming in, they can look at the reviews on the Apple Store and what have you, and then they can see the Metacritic and just go, well, that's the outlier. That's the anomaly. These vocal people online.
Crazy, crusty Diablo fans.
Yeah, they don't matter. They're a drop in the bucket. Yeah. They're not the real fans or whatever. And that's a kind of, I think that's why this will not be going away anytime soon. No. And it will just continue to evolve and kind of, you know, manifest in different ways. You know, we killed loot boxes, at least in their original form. But then those same kind of practices popped up in slightly renamed microtransactions, you know what I mean? We killed season passes, and that kind of was reframed as the battle pass later on down the line. Like, these things get knocked on the head, and then they pop up in a different form.
What's that,
because they just make some money. I think it is just whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-microtransactions. We've got that one. Oh, there's three more of them over there now, where you've got to kind of address them. Do you think the optics of this are just massively skewed by the fact that it landed on PC, and then PC players have the gumption or the history with the franchise to go, this is unacceptable with this label attached to it, the Diablo name attached to it, because it was released on mobile for a chunk of time before it was on PC?
Yeah.
And was that just their mistake? They should never have put it on PC. They attempted to tick both boxes. They attempted to do a nice casual little Diablo thing, which was already in itself memes to death. And then they went, well, the Diablo fans are going to love this. We'll put it on PC as well. And then that's what resulted in the massive backlash. And now we're talking about it a lot more than we were when it was just on mobile.
100%. I think it's the ultimate team effect. You know, FIFA was... you know, pushing Ultimate Team and the microtransactions in Ultimate Team for years. Mm. However, it never really got that much coverage because FIFA players generally skew more casual, and that was just kind of accepted as part of the kind of gaming experience. Mm. However, when similar practices made it over to Star Wars Battlefront 2, a more quote-unquote hardcore game with a more hardcore following online, suddenly it was like, holy hell, like, what is going on? because the community was way more engaged and was way more scrutinous of what was going on in those titles. And yeah, I fully agree. I think if this like just came out on mobile, surely there would be some backlash.
There was.
But it wouldn't be as pronounced, you know what I mean?
No.
It wouldn't be the kind of Metacritic bombing that it is right now. It would have just kind of, I imagine we wouldn't have done a second video on it.
No, that's the thing. It's because they're out there defending it and out there going, look, it's reviewing really well. People love it. And then it is a big talking point in regards to where something comes from and where it ends up. And I think those conversations are always fascinating. You can liken the same thing to the history of GTA, to GTA Online, and where Rockstar are as a company, for example, as a comparison. What do you think the industry is going to learn from this? Because I look at the comparisons, and I think you mentioned Nintendo before, you know, they've done Super Mario Run, they've done Mario Kart, they've done Fire Emblem. I know they all made a whole ton of money. Fire Emblem was a massive success for them in sheer monetary sense, but it didn't hold a candle to the likes of Fire Emblem Three Houses. You know, and Bethesda were like, here's a mobile Elder Scrolls. And it was abysmal. It was like on rails and it was terrible and you were paying to build the houses and stuff. Do you think everyone looks at this and goes, oh, so the thing we're supposed to do is make a premium entry point and then we can monetize the hell out of it?
I don't think the gaming industry has learned any lessons in 4 years. I just think they keep putting on new clothes. I think they will say that they've learned some lessons.
Yeah.
I think they'll say that they've learned some lessons and things definitely may change. But like I said before, it'll change in terms of how things are marketed. It'll change in terms of how things are named, how things work on the granular sense. I just genuinely think there's too much money at stake and there's too much money coming in for them to kind of view the backlash as anything more than, like I said, you know, kind of...
It's just some angry fanboys.
Yeah, some angry fanboys.
Whatever.
A drop in the bucket. Why do we need to change substantially? Mm-hmm. It'll be granular rather than, you know, a tectonic shift, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can...
Cynical, but...
No, I can see that. And also, I mean, there's a whole brass tacks reality to this in regards to the amount of mobile game devs and mobile game studio heads that have gone across into AAA development. There's the whole reality that Candy Crush is one of Activision's biggest franchises. And it's like, okay, how can we take this idea of monetizing each individual mechanic and then put that across into the other IPs that they have? And it is ludicrously lucrative when it works out. So let us know what you think down in the comments below of the hell of a state that gaming's in the mid-2022. In the mid-2022?
Yeah,
in mid-2022 when it comes to games like Diablo Immortal. And I don't even have.
There are games.
I don't have a sentence.
There are other games.
There are other games, probably. Callisto Protocol. Just roll into this. Let us know what you think. I'm Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I'll be Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.